We have a few slides to study this morning, and we invite you to turn in your Bible or follow up on the screen. So let's start out with the very first one. In Matthew 18 and 20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Very common verse that we have to read. And when you look at the writer, that's Jesus. He says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Jesus is not a liar. And if we live by the things that we see, I don't see him. Ethan, is he by you? You don't see him either, do you? He says he's here. And sometimes I think we take that for granted. We don't realize that Jesus is in our midst. We might act differently if we did. But I am keying on the part that says gathered together in Christ's name. When he's here, he is with us. So let's think about this, another very popular verse in Acts 20 and 7. "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Promise I'll be done by midnight. I promise we'll be done by midnight. But we find right here a verse that tells us when we gather together. The first day of the week. We don't meet on the Sabbath. We meet on the first day of the week. The disciples came together to break bread. And we'll talk about that for our services over too. So we get the first instructions on when we as Christians gather together. And let's look at some more instructions that we find. In 1 Corinthians 14, we have a lot of instructions on how to meet in the assembly. It says, "If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say we are mad?" Several years ago, we had some brethren from India or Nigeria, I don't remember which, and as they spoke to us, I did not know what they're saying. Didn't have a clue. We could have some of our Spanish brethren come up here and talk to us. I would not know what they're saying. But it tells us what to do. 1 Corinthians 14 and 27. "If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three, and that by course let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak him to himself and to God." So what did we do when we had the brethren here from India or Nigeria? There was someone that could interpret that. The fella, he talked in Hebrew or whatever he was doing in, and then someone else that understood it told us in English. So we'd know what they were saying. And that's instructions that we have in the scriptures. And we're not going to spend a lot of time here. We could go into great detail, but like I said, I have a few more slides than usual, and I'll wear out before midnight. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 34, it says, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted to them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they'll learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." And yet we can find in the United States women ordained as preachers and having their own congregations. This is just contrary to what God had planned, and we could go into detail maybe why he planned that, but that's not our purpose today. It's just talking about our first day of the week gatherings. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And that's what we try to do. We'll have songs, we'll have prayer, we have communion. Everything should be decently in order. Otherwise, it gets confusing. we had several people talking at the same time, it would get confusing. Let's look at some more general ideas. And 1 Corinthians 10 and 1. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. How confusing would it be to an unbeliever if someone got up here and preached and they said, okay, you got to do this and this to be saved. And then this evening, Brother Britt gets up here and says, no, you got to do this and this to be saved. I mean, you say, well, they don't know what they're doing. So that's why we are commanded to have the same mind and speak the same thing, not to create divisions. Now, what do? We sang this morning. Now, if you wanted to be pleasant, I'd probably shut up now and we'd sing some more. I mean, the singing was great. And we're edified by the singing. But let's look at the commandments we have for singing. Ephesians 5 and 19. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're making melody in our heart to the Lord. We're learning. Look at the words. I mean, all of that should uplift us. And then Hebrews 13 and 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Yet you can probably go here in Wheeler and you're going to hear a piano playing in some of the religious organizations. You may hear an organ. You may go somewhere and they have a full band. I promise if there was one here today, you couldn't have heard people singing very good because they usually play them loud. And this is directly against what God has taught us. Acts 17 and 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he need anything, seeth it giveth to all life and breath and all things. I'm not a musician. I'm not a singer. Those that sit close to me understand that too. But, you know, you have to use your hands if you're blowing a horn or playing the piano or the organ or playing a fiddle or guitar. So he says, don't do that. This is God's plan. And his ideas and his ways are higher than ours. What about prayer? We had a great prayer. Britt, I always hate for someone to talk on prayer when I just led the prayer, so I apologize for that. It was a great prayer. I appreciate it. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. And I think this is something else that we abuse. We just don't do it. We get caught up in whatever, and we just forget to do that. Matthew 21 and 22, and all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. This has given me and others, I know, problems. You know, we've had a dear one that's very ill, and we pray, help them. Help them, God. You can do it. You can raise the dead back to life. Help them. And nothing happens. They die. And then I read about Paul praying to our Heavenly Father. He says that he had a thorn in his flesh and he prayed three times to have that removed. You know, he was a great worker for Jesus. He told him, my grace is sufficient for you. God knows better than we do what we need. Sometimes we don't get what we ask for. I have not prayed for hair. I guess he don't think I need it, is all I can say. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Maybe he just wants us to hear, Lord, I need wisdom, I need knowledge, I need to do the right things, defeat me in wrong. Maybe that's what he needs to hear. Maybe he just wants us to hear. He knows what we need. We just need to ask for him. Next thought. Teaching. In Acts 13 and 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon that is called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So here we are at Antioch, and these are the preachers, teachers that they had. And yet we find in the world religious organization, they hire a professional, and does all their teaching. Anywhere in the Bible, we do not find that as an example. Everywhere where there's brothers and sisters meeting, the men take different turns teaching. And the beauty of that is, this evening there's someone else that you probably enjoy listening to. They take different turns, and that's the way God's plan. And there's several ideas why. One idea may be this. In Acts 8 and 4, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. You know, if everywhere had to have their own preacher and you had to move your flock to better grass, better water somewhere else, well, you couldn't have church because the preacher didn't go with you. And I think God's plan was to spread his word all over the world. He told us that in the Great Commission. Go you everywhere and preach the word. So all of us, men, women, children, should be teaching others. That's our responsibility, to teach others. Go out and tell them. And if we rely on someone else to do it, will they do the right thing? Will they teach? You know, there's just not enough people to go around. There's too many dying souls that we need to go spread the word to. Communion, I mentioned that. Acts 20 and 7, that same verse we started with, and upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. We do that here. When? First day of the week. We don't do it on the Sabbath. We don't do it on Wednesday. We do it on the first day of the week. This is our commandment that we have to follow. And you go out in the world, some places will have it quarterly. Some places will have it on Easter. I was in Claude not too long ago buying some livestock equipment, and the guy said, you know, we're starting a new non-denominational church here. And he said, you know, the Church of Christ are going to make me have to have communion every Sunday. And I looked at him and I said, have you read Acts 20 and 7? He said, no. And I told that to him, and he says, oh, maybe that's where they get it. But that's just a common practice, is just have it whenever. First Corinthians 11 and 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do you as oft you drink it in remembrance of me. What do we do here? Well, we have someone come up, and they'll say a few words. They'll take the bread and ask someone to say a prayer. They break it, and then we pass it. When we take the fruit of the vine, what do? Someone says a prayer, and we take it and pass it. I mean, this looks like what we're supposed to do to me. This is the commandment that we have. Over in John 6 and 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. There is a miracle that happens. When we pray for it, it is blessed. We eat the body of Christ. We drink his blood. That is, as simple it is, because when we do that, we can have eternal life, and he will raise us up that last day. It's a very important part of the service. When do we do it? On the first day of the week. Giving. 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. When do we lay by in store? Upon the first day of the week. I mean, that's pretty simple and plain, isn't it? I had a little lady, an older lady, that was a client of mine in Pampa, and she asked when I was going to be in town. I told her, I went by. She says, can you help me with my, I think she called it a tithing form. The religious organization she went to had a tithing form. And she had to figure the interest she received, the dividends she received, the money she had. And she had to sign this and send it in to how much she was going to give every year. And I said, well, what happens if you don't do this or you can't? She said, well, that happened to me last year. I got called in front of the preacher. I said, oh, okay. So I helped her. I mean, I said, let's be a little conservative with our guests here just in case there's a problem. But we have no order or command to tithe. Could you give 10%? Yes. Could you give 20%? Yes. We have an example of the poor widow that gave 100%. She gave it all. But the old scripture doctrine of tithing is not in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as the purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So this is the things that we go through in our assembly, in our gathering together on the first day of the week. And this is the scriptures that give us the commandments to do that. Let's look at special gatherings. Some of us visited with a fellow a while back, and he said there is no scriptural commandment that we should meet on Sunday evening or have gospel meetings. So let's look at that. I find in the Bible that there are special gatherings other than the first day of the week. In Mark 14:49, I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. This is Jesus speaking. He was daily in the temple. If I remember right, we mentioned this to that fella, and he said, oh, that's just like going to the coffee shop and having a donut. I disagree. I think Jesus wasn't at the temple having a donut. I think he was teaching. And let's look at some more places that we have some ideas here. This is talking about Peter and John over in Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And when the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. This account is very similar to Acts 2 when the church came into existence, when they was filled with the Holy Ghost and they praised God and they taught and souls were saved that day. Was this another day than the first day of the week? I don't know. Acts 4:27, this is talking about Paul and Barnabas. And when they had come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith into the Gentiles. Here they come, they gather the church together and tell them, yet gospel has been offered to the Gentiles. This was kind of a special occasion. It could have been on the first day of the week. I don't know. Acts 15:22. Then pleased it the apostle and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and the brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Galatia. So here they have a meeting that they're going to send some of their brethren to teach in other places. And they wrote letters to let them go about it. And then here in verse 30, so when they had dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. So they was meeting a lot. And I say we have scriptural proof that we can have gospel meetings, we can meet Wednesday evening, we can meet Sunday evening, and that should be sufficient to teach us. The more we come together, the more we learn. What is the difference in a special meeting than one upon the first day of the week? If we're meeting on a gospel meeting on Monday night, should we have communion? No, we don't have a commandment. Should we lay by in store? No, that's not the first day of the week. Should we sing? Yes. Should we pray? We're supposed to pray every day, continually. So that's where we get all the procedures that we have for our different meetings. All right, let's go to a different idea. Go back to Matthew 18 and 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Question for you. Should you be at the assemblies of the church? That's not a loaded question. Yes. If Jesus is there, would not you want to be there? Yes. Matthew likes to pick on Zane, so I will too. I asked the boys this weekend, I never did get anything from Lane, what he was saying. I told them, listen, if you guys could meet anyone famous, who would you want to meet? And they said, well, dead or alive. I said, either one, you take your pick. Who would you meet? Well, Zane, he said, tell you what, you'd want to meet Jesus. I said, that's the correct answer. I said, now go further than that. And he wrote down he would like to meet his mom's mother, Mary Lanou. Mary Lanou died when Daphne was 5. He would like to meet her. He would like to meet Joe Dukes, a great-granddad. He would like to meet Elbert Zeebach, a great-granddad. So what I'm trying to get across to you is, if we're having the gathering together, the church, and Jesus is here, well, I don't see him either. But he's here. You need to be here. You want to be here. You should be here. If he's going to have you at home in heaven with him, he ought to know you're here. You're not fishing. Now, I'm not talking about being absent when you're sick or whatever. I don't want you to give me a bug either. But you should be here. All right, let's cover a little more. Let's talk about the gathering place. We got a gathering place here. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. The church is in their house. 1 Corinthians 4 and 15 salute their brethren which are in Laodicea, Memphis, and the churches which is in his house. The building is not important. I've heard about people having gospel meetings under a arbor outside, under the trees. You can have it in your home. All right, how do we do it if we have it in our home? Let me give you a little example. I know a family that weather had called the services to be called off, and there were several there. There was enough to sing. There was enough to pray. There was enough to teach. They was laying by in store. They was doing everything just like the Bible says. They get ready to start the services, and here's the mama walks in to sit down, and one of the little ones, and it takes the child to be able to understand, mama, you don't wear your house shoes to church. She's okay. She went and changed, and then they had church. Now, I'm not saying you need to, if you want to wear your house shoes, I don't care. That's fine. Wear what's comfortable. But you need to do the assembly just like we're taught in the Bible. Wherever you're at, if you're out under the trees, if you're on the lake, if you're in your home, wherever it is. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which giveth unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. God started it through Christ. He laid the foundation. Each one of us builds upon it. We are the building of God. We sing a song, Christ has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. We are God's workers. All right. I found another gathering place when I was studying on this. Let's read about it. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the gathering that God will take care of. And every one of us will be there, whether we want to be or not, and we're going to forever, I'm pushing the wrong button, sorry about that, we will forever be with the Lord. I'm trying to find the pointer. So this is an eternal gathering too. Let's read a little more. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So it's going to be a dividing process, just like if he's working cattle or something. He's going to divide his people. That's what's going to happen in this final gathering. Revelation 20:13 tells us a little more. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we're going to be judged at this final gathering. Every one of us will be there. We won't be excused. We have to show up. We will be there. The dead that's died before us, they're going to be there. Everyone's going to be judged according to their works. So this is gathering that we must show up to. We won't miss it for any reason. We'll be there. If you can be dead, you're still going to show up. What do we do about it? About these gatherings? Let's bring our remarks to a close with several ideas here. What do we do? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, then this is something that must be done. You don't have a choice. It's not optional. In Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're told to repent. That means to change and not live in a sinful manner. Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We're told to confess in Matthew 10:32, said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And then in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And that's what we have water here for. We have a change of clothes. We have towels. And then there's another miracle. You go down to the water and you come up without sins. This is God's plan of salvation. Pretty simple. You don't have to be a PhD or have a rocket scientist to figure this out. It's simple. Even I can understand it. And then in Revelation 2:10, it says, be thou faithful in the death, and I will give you a crown of life. To me, that's the hardest part. It's easy to get the sins forgiven, but living faithfully. I don't know about you, but I've had to have prayers of my brethren because I didn't live faithfully. Sometimes we just have to pray one for another, because you've fallen short. And that's what we're told to do. and our sins are forgiven again. Pray one for another. What else to do? Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Be here. Jesus is here. You need to be here. You want Him to take you to that home in heaven. You need to be here. That's all there is to it. Now, I realize sometime you're sick, you can't, sometime you're on the road, but be at the assemblies every time. There is no difference between a Sunday morning service and a Sunday evening service. There's no difference except for communion and laying by store and the gospel meeting. Be here. You will learn something every time you're here. Probably a year ago, Becky and I had been to Amarillo, and we had sat around the doctor's office for more than we wanted to. And it was Wednesday night. We decided, well, I'm too tired to go to the singing. It's just the singing. But we said, well, we better go. Somebody will say something. So we came to the singing, and there was a young man got up and made a comment about the song. I do not remember the song because I can forget better than I remember, but I was so glad that we came. Every once in a while, we'll have brethren here that will say amen about something that really strikes them well. I said amen at that song. Only amen I've ever said in my life. But that touched me and makes me want to be here because I get something out of being in the service. I get something out of seeing you. I get something out of seeing people coming in a wheelchair. They're struggling to get here. I get something out of seeing people using a walker that's struggling to get here. And they want to be here so bad. I get something out of that. It gives me an uplift. It makes me want to try harder. So we need to be here. Acts 2 and 42. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. We need to be steadfast. We don't want to be Christians on Sunday and worldly on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Unmovable. People look at you and they say, oh yeah, that guy's a Christian or that lady's a Christian. They do good things. All right. Let's read the last part of Matthew 25 on what else we should do. Matthew 25 and 34. Then shall the king say to them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came into me. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to feed the hungry. We're supposed to give the thirsty drink. We're supposed to take in the strangers, clothe the naked, visit the sick, visit those in prison. That's what we're supposed to do. When we're doing that, other people will want to come to Christ. Good works bring people to Christ. All you have to do is say, give them the Bible. That don't work. Show them what to do. Show them good works. 2 Corinthians 5 and 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, you may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's our last scripture. Are you good or are you bad? Have you obeyed the gospel? You need to.